strategy was, and we talked about a number of things from Mosul Dam to Syria. But then I, on the second, I was supposed to call, there was Kevin McCarthy. I was supposed to get in touch with him because this is after the 14th election and he won, you know, they won.
Right.
And I wanted to talk to him about how we proceed.
It looked like he was going to be speaker at that, or not speaker.
Well, no, he was going to be the number two guy, which
right.
he was.
Yeah.
But he wanted to talk to me about what we could get done. Where could we cooperate? He came over to the house. Then there was a Bono event that was supposed to come up in New York that he wanted me to speak at, but he had that bicycle accident. And remember, he was badly injured,
yeah.
Bono. And so it got put off. And then I was working on energy infrastructure with the Department of Defense as well as with the Department of Energy because we were putting together a program where he needed me to spearhead with him a major initiative on rebuilding the energy infrastructure because it was so vulnerable. Because a lot of it was along the shoreline. A lot of it was, there were several billion dollars worth of outages a year that cost consumers a lot, and how we could be, our grid could be vulnerable to being shut down.
Right.
Not by cyber, but by natural disaster.
Right. Hurricane.
Hurricanes
right.
and Sandy-type storms.
Right. Was there any discussion of, does he ever talk about decentralizing, I mean, uncoupling from that grid and having...
Yeah, he talks about basically a new grid. What he talks about is, for example, he points out that there are, I don't have the numbers, it's easy to find out, several hundred thousand miles of gas pipeline, most of it laid in the 50s, a lot of it leaking. Talks about how what a clear and present danger is, particularly in New England. Talks about some of our water infrastructure being wooden pipes. There are still
wooden pipes.
Talks about how there's methane leaking from some of these pipes and the number of jobs we create. We could get all this information easily enough. And I ended up going up, I can't remember when, going up to Philadelphia to talk to the PE&G about all the stuff that they could and should be doing to significantly increase the safety of the system and how many hundreds of thousands of jobs you can create, etc. And so I was the guy who was going to lead that effort for him, which we started to do. And
I got the sense that the Secretary of Energy is a guy who was pretty optimistic about, like, just what was going on with energy.
Yeah,
policy.
No. And he talked about the great chances, and he thinks that I'm the only one who really understands it, and he needed me to be the face of this effort, which for the better part of that year that I was. We also talked about at that same thing. Talked about VETS projects that had to take place, had to be to deal with the plight of veterans. I talked about Congressman Tim Murphy of Connecticut. He had a bill to focus on mental health. Hello? No, she's not here yet. Let's wait till she gets here. Okay. I'll call. And so I talked about that and gun safety and mental health. That was the connection.
He was a so near Newtown.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I don't think he represents Newtown, but near.
Okay.
Talk with the National Security Advisor Susan about following up with Brazil and Dilma, which I was getting back on track. I was working her really hard.
You had been there New Year's, right? To Brazil?
Yeah. Remember though, I was the one that rebuilt the relationship with her.
Right, after the
WikiLeaks stuff and all that. And so I spent a lot of time putting that relationship back, then she gets impeached. But I spent a lot of time, Tony and I, talking about Ukraine and unfolding. I called Jim Inhofe, talking about energy infrastructure. He's from Oklahoma, and talk about why this could work for both the energy producing guys as well as environmental guys to, get funding for, digging up the bad pipe, connectors and all that. And then the Delaware River Project is all about deepening the Delaware River, the Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
I was fighting to get money for that, so I called Carper, Coons, Carney, Senator Casey, and Bill, Bob Brady, Congressman.
Mm-hmm.
I had to call Elliot Engel on the Foreign Relations Committee, who was fighting the Iran deal, to try to rein him in, which I was able to do. And I had to talk about Carper supporting the Iran deal and help we got. Plus, Carper was very engaged in helping me get funding for Central America and the Northern Triangle. So
right.
I talked to him about that.
Was this all literally in that one day?
Yeah.
My God.
And I, we had a very brief staff discussion about, I called President Anastasiadis of Cyprus because inquired about his health. I think he was still in the hospital here in New York. He came to an operation. And I talked about the University of Delaware Biden Center, and what my Senate legacy was going to be as related to Delaware.
That was already happening?
It was an early discussion. Yeah. I think it was already happening. And then with the non-classified part of what part of my discussion with POTUS that day was talking about Ready for Joe. I told him about he told me about this, those bumper stickers that people began in spontaneously
And he had seen those?
He had raised them. I don't know if he saw them or not, but he knew there was a spontaneous effort to try to draft Joe Biden. So we And then POTUS was talking about you got to avoid the, I can't remember what he meant by it, avoid the Mitt Romney, John Kerry situation, which is where they got, I assume he means they got pulled in to start earlier than they were supposed to. And he said, his comment to me was, I'm very protective of your legacy and your image. So before you do anything in responding to this effort to get you in, why don't you wait till you get, I told him that Mike Donald was doing memos for me as to how to run if I ran. And he said, then decide, because you can always change your mind, you know, in 3 minutes here. You don't have to go on this. But why don't you wait till you get more hard-ass read about your chances? And he said, you ought to talk to Pluff, Seamus, and me. He said, I'll be blunt with you, and sorry they, you know, will tell you the truth based on what the numbers are. And he said that after that, if in a week, after that, within a week, that we have this discussion with you, me, Seamus, etc., then you can decide or not decide whether or not you should let Ready for Joe go. Told him about great rollout. What was I talking about there? I guess it must have been talking about the rollout of our of the State of the Union.
Would this be sort of maybe like the the agenda going forward in the next 2 years?
He wonders how. I guess he was wondering how the Republicans are going to get out of the cuts on in the border and Coast Guard, how they're going to explain that. What are Republicans going to do? He talked about the hypocrisy. We both talked about the hypocrisy of the prayer breakfast, because we had talked about that earlier. That was, it just happened, it was about to happen. He told me what he's going to do, what his plans are for going to do the last year. He wants to help the poor. He said, you know, I don't know, these guys read the same Bible. I don't know what Bible they're reading. I don't know what Bible these guys are reading. We talked about the Central America strategy. He really liked my op-ed that I did on Central America. He said in the situation we have to detail how you're going to lay out. This is the Northern Triangle. I told him of the tentative plan for me to visit the Triangle before heading to Panama. Ash's confirmation. Ash Carter's confirmation.
So can I ask you two things about that lunch? One is that when he said, I'm very protective of your legacy and your image.
He was worried that I would get into, I think it was all about him trying to talk to me not run it.
Yeah.
And he was worried that if I got started with this draft Biden thing, I let it get out of hand, couldn't go anywhere, it would tarnish my image, tarnish my legacy.
Uh-huh.
And so he wanted to make it clear that he was, quote, very protective of my legacy, very protective of my image. And so wait until you have more data. Wait until you see if you can really win this thing.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in this idea of everybody wanting to draft you, and just make sure it's something that you can actually get done. Is it doable? And the fact is that he didn't think it was doable at that time that I could actually go out and get the nomination.
Was that your read at the time, or are you?
That was my read at the time.
Okay.
And he probably at some point said, at a minimum, it would be a really uphill battle.
Right.
She's already really well organized. My decision to run or not run doesn't have to do with the field. I'm not out testing a message. Remember, she was testing messages.
Right.
Avoid the whole idea of looking like you're testing.
we have that pretty well covered in that, that from the earlier, from the notebooks you had the last few times. Was Ron's
a lot of time this month on Ukraine, in Brazil.
So how did you bring Dilma back in the boat? So
I really wooed her. And I spent a lot of time talking to her. I spent a lot of time convincing her that it was in U.S. interest to have a relationship with them. She used the phrase in a press conference that Vice President Biden is seductive.
I remember
you know, we're not married yet, but he is seductive. I got her to believe that we weren't deliberately, you know, trying to undermine her, and we weren't listening to all her conversations, and that she had to understand that it was not in her interest at all to cut ties with us, and that I talked to her about how made a commitment of what we weren't going to be doing in the future in terms of dealing with her and her government. And the bottom line is that she began this. She said, okay, and she wasn't going to come to the United States. I worked out where she would be able to come, and it basically patched everything up. But I just worked her really hard.
Yeah.
Was honest with her. Didn't in any way mislead her.
How strongly did she register her anger with you?
Very strongly. And she didn't trust anything America was doing. But you know, I said, you can trust me. I'll level with you. And then I talked with her about, tell me what your greatest political problems are. Maybe you can use me as an excuse to why you, you know, have to do what you have to do. I had multiple phone calls with her. Went down and visited her, talked about, you know, how we could work together, how we could help. So it took months. I really worked the relationship on a personal basis.
Was her visit here sort of the moment when you felt like it was put back together?
Yeah. I mean, that was, she had refused to come, and I had talked her into to coming. State dinner and to show our respect for her, because she was getting a little bit of hell beat out of her at home for dealing with this at all, you know, with like cut off relationships, etc.
Didn't you have a personal connection, like a somebody, like a nephew or something that she had?
No, but I paid a lot of attention to, I'd have to go back, and I'm sure I'd get a lot of material on the Dilma relationship. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I did. I'm sure I can get us a lot on that.
Okay.
And I was working the same thing. I was working really hard. Ukraine, as well as the Northern Triangle. I also was meeting with the Qataris and, you know, and the Middle East about Iraq.
The body really needed help at this point, didn't it?
Yeah. This was the time when I was making the case to the whole administration that instability coming out of the Arab Spring was not going to go away anytime soon. There was a real lack of opportunity. I argued the state media in the region was hurting us. Shia refusal to adjust, and the
was there any one of those, Iraq, the Northern Triangle, Ukraine, and Brazil, that really stood apart as, you know, man, we got to get this right, and or is it just you've got to keep all these balls in the air all the time?
It was about trying to manage. I never thought we could do. I thought we could get Brazil right and repair that relationship out of our own interest. But I thought that there was, and all this time we're working on the. We had done the Iran deal, I think, by this time.
The framework was being worked on.
Yeah.
I think the framework happened in April.
Yeah. And so I was of the view that, all we could do was really manage what was going on. And I was making the case that Nusra was a terrorist organization at the time, and the argument was, were they, weren't they? And I was making the argument they were. And I was talking about, we just have to figure out how to manage this. At the same time, I was...
Where was Nusra operating?
In Iran. I mean, excuse me.
In Iraq.
In Syria. And then, at the same time, I was making the case on the phone constantly with Poroshenko about help them against the Russians, because it was the 26th of February. They really were looking for counter radars to defend themselves. They were looking for anti-tank weapons, and they wanted the Global Hawk, which was able to look down capability. And also, I was still working on Brazil and a potential state dinner at the same time.
Were you a kind of a lonely voice on Ukraine at this point in the administration?
I've been a lonely voice the whole fucking time. Yes, it was. Making the case. I kept making the case, we pay now or pay later. Yeah. We either help them now or it's going to get much, much worse later. And what will fall will happen. Also, during this period, I think this is when Schultz was trying to get me to run. Howard Schultz was calling me. And I got a call from Joe Donnelly that he wanted me to call. It was something about Father Hesper. Did he die?
At Notre Dame?
At Notre Dame on the 27th of February. And I was meeting with Bill Bradley, who was talking about wanted me to run. And
when people like Schultz and Bradley are calling, you can't tell them what's going on in your life.
No, I didn't. So I was thinking about it. The Central America piece, pushing for civil service reform and professionalize the police force, talking about the need to get in light manufacturing and tourism, talked about in Honduras about the gas pipeline needs to be completed, the use of military forces for police force had to transition to police power. You had to finish the gas pipeline from Mexico or you get it underway. But that regulatory changes in the utility industry were needed to get anything done.
To get investment in there, they needed to.
Yeah, but they also, in order to get it built, in order to get investment, they got it built.
Wasn't there also a mechanism that they had to sign off on, like it was almost a UN policing mechanism?
Yes, I insisted that this was before that. I'm trying to get the time frame. That's when we got to have somebody sit down with me when we do this. The time frame was that
that's something I can. That's a matter of public record, that UN thing. I can check.
And then I spoke to the Northern Triangle guys. Were in town, I think, on the 3rd of March. And I talked about an ambitious agenda we have. This is a moment of opportunity. The Millennial Challenge was an example of how we can organize our effort. It had to be transparency. We needed to, they needed to lobby Congress and mitigate or solve a lot of the problems. There need to be structural changes. It wasn't just about giving the money. We had to, it was required know-how, technical assistance, educational assistance, and bureaucratic, you had to build bureaucracies. We had to lobby beyond the government. We had the civil society, religious society, the business community, and in detail, what they were going to do was absolutely necessary. This must have been, was I down in?
March 2, I think you were going to Guatemala City.
Yeah, so I was down. These were compliments. These were comments I made.
Okay.
In Guatemala City.
Okay.
To the leaders of the Northern Triangle.
Is there some fun when you're on these trips? Down there?
Nope, never.
Yeah.
That was on the 3rd, too. I met with multinational government organizations, a state visit of a model police precinct, and then I had the Guatemala airport and came home. So
you know what's interesting about that day? It looks like you had a call with a body while you were there.
I'm sure I did, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because I was the guy who, the only guy a body really trusts is me. The Triangle guys, Dilma,
Ukraine,
Poroshenko, all those guys.